Hello and welcome to another episode of Android's Amazing Podcast. I'm your host, James Santana, and as always, I'm joined by Hunter Van Lierop.
Heyo!
This is part one of our Parents Spectacular featuring my boy Danny. Danny, say hi to people.
Hi to the people.
We are brought to you by Android's Amazing Comics down in Saverly, New York. Now, let's start the show up first with news.
We were right. We were right.
Yes. So, 2 weeks ago on the show, we called out who the Secret Six were. The only one that hasn't been fully confirmed yet is Donna Troy, but DC's doing a number of one shots around the Secret Six. The first one shot is King Shazam, written by
Tina Grace.
The other one is Scarab, which is Blue Beetle.
Don't know who it's written by. Couldn't tell you that one.
And then there's the three other characters.
We don't know the other Hawkman. Titan
yet. Yes, Hawkman, who's Sky Tyrant, which will just be featured in his own series, the Hawkman series.
Issue 16,
I think. And Supergirl.
Which
21, we haven't gotten a name.
31?
31, and we haven't gotten a name yet for her.
She's probably going to be like Kryptonian.
It's probably Supergirl last. That will probably
or just call her Kryptonite.
Yeah, or something.
That'd be fun.
Jim Gordon, we saw in issue 7 of Batman Who Laughs. He'll be getting his one shot in December.
I really
December.
Want him to be the Commissioner Who Laughs so bad.
I know you do. And Donna Troy, which will be getting her.
She'll probably be Troya.
It's probably
Troya. It makes sense because of what the Titans arc did like 2 years ago.
And her one shot will also be in December. From there, we'll jump into some more DC news. With Grant Morrison ending of Green Lantern 12, which again I call.
It's the end of his season 1, they say, or year 1?
But they are going to launch it into a 3-issue miniseries called Green Lantern Black Stars. It's set in a it's still set in the DC universe.
It's set in their canon, though.
Something happens in issue 12 to the DC universe where it's not the Green Lantern Corps anymore. Now they're called the Black Stars. Mm-hmm. Hal Jordan still being the lead.
The Black Star issue was like, I think issue, five.
Right.
Where he joined the Black Stars and did like the whole vampire like gauntlet.
Yep.
I thought that was a pretty cool issue.
And he had to take the name Parallax.
Yeah, and he chose the name as Parallax, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah. That was really weird, though.
I really hope that they... Okay, so I know there's a lot of problems going around with Morrison's Green Lantern. And I don't hate it. I was one of the guys who was picking it up every week and like, every month. And I was like, it's fine. The last couple issues have really gotten me like kind of peeved. I hope that DC gets their head on straight and does another Green Lantern book. There's so many Green Lanterns. There's only three in the current continuity. There is Teen Lantern. There is Jessica Cruz, who is in Odyssey. And then there is Hal Jordan, who's in this one. And then John Stewart's in Justice League. I totally forgot about that.
Yes.
This four. Where's Guy Gardner? Kyle was in Titans, which is now canceled.
Yep.
They're doing a new Pan-Asian one, I think. And then there's Sector Zero.
Sector Zero is a new one coming out. Young Animal Black Label book coming out in November. Mm-hmm. And same thing, their Pan-Asian character set in the past. But it's set in, I think, in...
It also allows him to be an adult if he gets brought into the...
Exactly. And it's also set in one of the YA novels they're writing.
Yeah. But it's still really cool to see more Green Lanterns. I just wish that DC would just do another Green Lantern Corps book. Literally call it Green Lantern Corps. Have Guy Gardner lead it. He hasn't led a book in a while, and it's always fun to see him try to, like, man up from his, like, gritty, boyish attitude. He reminds me of Jason, almost, where he's kind of like... He can be level-headed at some points, but then not really.
Exactly.
And give him, like, Kilowog to bounce off. And who's the Yellow Ranger? He was the Yellow Ranger. Oh, my God. Power Rangers. Who's the Yellow Lantern he was always messing around with?
Sinestro?
No, the one with the... They cut his fingers off and he had, like, the...
Oh, Aquilo?
Yeah, Aquilo. I'd love to see just them be the leaders of the Corps again.
Power Rangers things all day.
Too much Power Rangers. We just did a whole...
You'll see. So, Hunter, you want to jump on the next piece of news?
Yes, fucking Yondu. Yondu's finally getting a book for Marvel. He hasn't gotten his own solo book, and I think ever, honestly.
Yes.
And it's only a 5-issue mini, and it's being written by Lonnie Nadler and Zach Thompson with art by John McCrea. 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 McCrea?
McCrea.
Sure, whatever. I mean, someone please correct
us. I'm glad Yondu's finally getting a book. I loved him since... I mean, I did love his old iteration, but I do love him more because of Mike Roker from the movies. And I think he just does a great job, and they're taking that one from it. He's the space bounty hunter. It's going to be the sleazy underbelly of space. I'm excited. You guys didn't talk about it last week when you guys talked about the Morbius and the Scream and Deadpool with Kelly Thompson, which is super exciting.
There's a reason why it wasn't out when I was recording the episode. I think they announced it right when I started recording last week.
Yeah.
My problem with the series is... All right. So I mean, talk about this in the store.
Yeah, we talked about it when I came back.
Yeah, we got back
from vacation.
Yeah.
By the way, guys, I'm back.
Yeah. Well, yes. The biggest thing I have with Yondu is that Yondu has been around since the original Guardians inception, and then you got to see his reintroduction in Guardians 3000, set in the modern era type, kind of Guardians team up.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, he's in the Guardians of the Galaxy book as the movie version of Yondu.
Where he's a gruff dad figure for Star-Lord. Right. He's like, hey, what's going on? Guns. Not like the whole Last of His Race with the bow and arrow. He has the floating quiver thing and he uses laser guns.
Right.
And I don't hate that, but it's definitely a departure from his main
body. It really is. I feel like the problem with that is we have that story of who he was. His old style. So is this Yondu...
I think it'll be a mixture of both.
The old school Yondu, or actually my current theory is that he is actually an ancestor to the future Yondu that we meet in the original Guardians of the Galaxy.
I can see that. I think, since there are two writers on board, I know sometimes two writers get jumped on board books all the time. It helps for bouncing. I think they're going to do flashbacks, current day stuff, like with his Guardians of the Galaxy counterpart, and then future stuff, and somehow tie it all together.
Right.
The synopsis of the book was it's just gritty underbelly space stuff, but I'd like to hope that it's a little bit of, here's him crazy, and then here's the version of him where he's super, like, normal and just stubborn. Right. I want to see them somehow collide maybe in, like, issue 3 or 4. I think that would be cool. Doing a dual Yondu story.
Right, and I would like to see that, because
then it would give your whole, like, I feel like it would justify a little bit more why there's two of them and they're so drastically different.
Exactly. I think the biggest reason...
Okay.
I need that for something later.
Sounds good.
I think the biggest reason why I have such a problem with Yondu, not as a character, I just wish that we have a complex history with the character to a big part of Marvel's cosmology, and they need to do something with it. You know...
Yeah, so. The Cosmo books are, right now, honestly being handled by all Donny Cates.
Exactly.
It's just Guardians and Silver Surfer Black. I don't know if there's any other cosmic books right now. Death's Head, maybe. But he's on street level. It's cosmic book, but it's street level right now. That's Tinny Howard.
So, I guess we'll go from that to... I'll cover these next two pieces of news, because...
You added them to the docket.
Besides that, because I have a theory with one of them. Krypton was canceled after season 2, and Sci-Fi is going forward, and now Sci-Fi isn't going forward with the Lois series. As you know before, if you listen to our show, we have spoken about the Lois series getting spinoff, and I said that was weird when they announced it. That they announced a series without seeing how the actor is. Krypton season 3 was a go-ahead, how can you do a Lois show?
If he's not even introduced, he could have got a bad reception from
him.
Right. He could have been the worst character and they already announced it, but then they were just canceled it.
Right. So,
I honestly think the Lobo show would be a great limited series, like how DC's, Marvel's doing, like, not Loki, Falcon Bucky, whatever the fuck's
called. Words?
I can't think of words.
Yeah.
So, Winter Soldier Falcon, doing that as like an 8 episode kind of bridge between
Falcon and Winter Soldier?
Yeah. Yes. Him becoming Captain America and then fighting Zemo.
Right. So right now, what they're doing is they're shopping around both Krypton. They are shopping around Krypton too.
Yeah, no, they're Lobo definitely shopping around Krypton. I thought Lobo was going to get picked up.
There's a lot of rumors about why the series got canceled, and actually, one of the biggest rumors I saw, which doesn't mean anything, is that people are like, "Well, if you look at Swamp Thing getting canceled, and Krypton getting canceled, and the Lobo series getting canceled, what's happening?" And I said, "There's different reasons why each one got canceled." And
we still don't know the full thing for Swamp Thing, but we think it was
taxes and actor stuff that happened. And we you can kind of tell why Krypton got canceled. Think of the last
show. It was very high budget for Sci-Fi.
Think of the time slot it was in. Think of another show that was in the same time slot that got canceled recently from there.
Sci-Fi?
Yes.
Happy?
Another comic book show. Besides Happy.
Deadly Class.
Same exact time slot, same exact day.
Oh, okay. It was the opposite seasons of it?
Yeah. They were off season for it.
Mm.
The problem is when you have a comic book show, their target audience for a comic book show is normally older adults. The problem is your older adult audience isn't going to watch it live at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday night.
No.
Dan, what time do you go to bed on Wednesday night?
10:30.
I go to bed. I'm 22 and I go to bed at like 11.
I go to bed like
I'm a tired boy.
1 o'clock.
Sometimes I'm up till then.
But that's the thing, you know, you're not staying up till 11 o'clock at night to watch a show most of the time.
No.
And the problem is the ratings were there, but only if they count the DVR recording ratings and the streaming ratings for the shows like that. Because what ended up happening, people weren't watching it live. What they were doing is they would record it and then watch it at a late date, normally on the weekends, when they had the time to. So advertisers normally don't want to invest in the show where their product's not going to be shown. If you record it on DVR, you're fast running through commercials. You're not seeing through an hour of television. You're seeing through about 45 minutes, 40 minutes of actual story. So that 20 minutes of advertisement, the advertisers don't want to invest in the show. And the problem is they need to stop putting these big budget shows this late at night.
It definitely fucks with their.
It does, whole thing. And it happens, and because we just saw with Daily Class, it's not DC's doing, it's not Warner Brothers, it's not anything like that. It literally is an awful time slot.
Mm-hmm.
10 o'clock at night is not a good time for a primetime show. Ever, we saw that with Constantine being on Friday night. At 10 o'clock.
Constantine so much.
We saw it with Daily Class earlier this year being at Wednesday night at 10 o'clock. Krypton being on Wednesday night at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Legion suffered, but they didn't care. That's the difference between,
because that was also FX.
Yeah, they didn't
FX
care. They didn't care. Because all their programming was late night, and they can do whatever they want, and they didn't care.
And they go wild with it, too.
Right, and they were small seasons.
And they're like 8 to 13 episodes, I think. When Krypton tries to go 20, I think.
No, they were small. It's just that they just couldn't handle it.
Yeah. They're being shopped around at HBO Max, because that's the new streaming service that HBO's doing, and they're connected to DC Universe, so it's also being shopped around at DC Universe, because the Season 1 was also streamed onto DC Universe.
Yes.
After it was aired.
So,
people are thinking it's going to that. I think that would be cool.
That'd be easy.
And I'd love a Lobo show as well.
Yeah, do that. Move them both to the DC app or move them both to HBO Max and be fine. And we'll go continue this DC television stuff with Birds of Prey being pitched to CW following Arrow's finale.
Which Birds of Prey is it? Is it the one that's...
I'm going to show you.
Canary and all that stuff?
Yes, I want to show you.
I'm 2 seasons behind on Arrow.
Okay, so... Well, it's going to be, wow.
And like 4 seasons behind on Legends.
So the Birds of Prey that was on 10 years ago.
Yeah, right?
Was it
the Joss Whedon one?
I wish. no. Great. So it's going to be, the Birds of Prey were actually pitched to CW's produced staff by Katie Cassidy, who plays Laurel on the show. She pitched it where it would be her.
Her evil counterpart?
Black Siren, yeah. Okay. From the show. Black Siren.
Be cool.
Sarah from Legends.
And then the new.
And Dinah.
I'm down with that. And all that canaries all the time. I'm in.
Because they've been hinting at a bigger story they want to tell for the three of them, between them doing like the team-up episodes in the series.
Well, yeah. It could also touch upon like the whole sister thing, even though they're not sister-sisters.
Right.
I like that dynamic.
Yes.
And I also like the new canary a lot, because she's literally Black Canary. She screams.
Yes.
The other ones are just kind of like, they have the echo machine.
Yes.
They're just ninjas.
But the thing is, like, because you're 2 seasons behind.
I am.
So, but last season they did a whole episode called Canary.
Okay.
And it was just them teaming up.
Ooh.
And they also fly with this season, this last season's flash forward to the future. You know the canaries become something bigger. So even doing an off season type of like Legends, smaller season, doing
definitely
the canaries,
season,
you can do that.
Yeah.
You know, and you play around with things, and you can add characters.
But then
characters
are they taking
like,
Sarah off of Legends? Because when
you don't
they,
have to, they're time traveler. She's a time traveler.
True, they could be like, in one episode she does this, and it's a whole season and she comes back.
Right, you know.
Because they put Wally and Constantine on there as well.
Again, you've introduced Huntress on the show before.
Yeah.
You know,
I think they have their own Oracle.
Felicity.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she left. She left before the season even finished.
Oh, really? I thought she had a...
Okay. No, she's not coming back for the final season of Arrow. But you can have... You know, Huntress joined the team. You can have Black Canary. You can have the Penny. You know,
if a character from Batwoman could join.
You can have Lady Shiva join. You can have Batwoman come over for an episode.
Yeah,
you know, and do things like
that. Now that Black Lightning is going into it, you can have one of his daughters show up.
Join, have Thunder or Lightning join. You know, the team. You know, it would actually make pretty. It would actually not be a bad.
It'd be a good like all lady show that also ties into. That not ties directly story wise into Batwoman, but like increases the whole like, and Supergirl could make an appearance.
You know, and it could have. You can do an all woman. Remember when we talked about last week or the week before about ABC doing an all female TV show and couldn't figure out who they
like
have
the
it.
A-Force kind of deal,
right? And they were like, we can't use our big character. We have to use our like.
Yeah, we thought Squirrel Girl would be fine, and like.
But I think CW has a better.
They have because they already have the characters,
right.
And they're not already in movies.
Right, and
they can't use Wonder Woman, but they never did use Wonder Woman.
Right, so they can do things. You know, they're taking characters that you can take characters that are established in your CW verse, and go. You know what? We're not making it where they're completely different. We're making it about feminism or empowerment. We're talking about just kick-ass stories with these women and their badassness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, It's something they can definitely explore.
I totally think that the show's going to go off. If the last season of Arrow gets, like, high ratings, I feel like we'll at least get one season of Birds of Prey. Not down my mind.
All right.
Especially because CW likes to just expand. They're always like, oh, no, we're going to stop doing shows. No. And they're like, just kidding, here's seven.
I mean, not no. Still not no. It never changes.
Just like with Black Lightning. They said, oh, no, it's never coming to crossover. And they're like, just kidding.
That's why I owe somebody a dinner.
It was the Vassies, right?
I don't like losing bets. Hey, man.
Thank God you didn't lose trivia. I don't even know. Ugh.
That's a whole other thing. That's
final docket.
All right, so we just jump into yesterday, and Marvel announced a new series, which, by the teaser, I wanted to scream and rip my teeth out. So
they said the next great team, and they listed and Avengers, the Defenders,
and Thunderbolt, and then every comment underneath that,
Fantastic Four and X-Men. And you know what the team is called? Doc Justice and the J Team. Yeah, millennials. It sounds like someone reached into a bowl of millennial phrases and pulled it all out. Doc Justice, J Team. Like, hey, yeah. All right.
We don't really know much about the team.
Think about it. It's just millennial stuff.
I thought it was a joke when I saw it.
So did I.
I thought it was like a one shot or like tied into some book.
Did you see the video that Nick Lowe put out?
No, I haven't.
He's one of the editors at Marvel. And he goes, "We're excited to announce this team." So in the video, it's in the veins of Avengers, the X-Men, and Fantastic Four.
He changed it.
And they changed it up.
Because Defenders and Thunderbolts, what the fuck is that?
I know, I'm like, they're not.
I think he meant street level?
No!
Because Thunderbolts had considered street level.
They're not, though. They're like, the Thunderbolts,
some
no.
Thunderbolts, like the Red Hulk one that they did.
And yeah, like some of the versions of the Thunderbolts, but I think they were putting in the vein, well, we put a vein as like Avengers, and then your next team is the Defenders.
That's a huge drop.
And then it's like, Thunderbolts.
You put up Captain America next to Luke Cage and Daredevil, and you're like, yeah, okay.
No, not even that. Remember, that's not even the original
I know, Avengers. The original Defenders was Doctor Strange,
and Hulk, Silver Surfer, and Night Mask.
No, and also Namor.
Namor, that's right, you're right, not me. Namor. It was Namor, not Race.
Nightmare came on later.
Yeah, he did. He joined later on.
So Doc Justice and the J Team. Everybody thinks it's the Runaways. Not only because Chris Anka's on the book, but also because all the characters look suspiciously like the characters from the Runaways. And at the end of one of the solicits, it says the Runaways get an offer they can't refuse from a new masked superhero, and it looks like Doc Justice's hand.
Yes.
And you think Doc Justice is who?
Baron Zemo.
Which would be awesome.
Because it's going to be him playing people like he normally does.
Well,
because
they originally teased back in Marvel Legacy or back in the Marvel Now 2.0 that Baron Zemo was going to come back as Citizen V, and they never touched it.
They did.
When?
But it wasn't Baron Zemo.
When did Citizen V come back?
Citizen V ended up being Robbie from Sunspot. He took the name Citizen V in U.S. Avengers.
Oh, but he didn't wear the outfit.
He didn't wear the outfit.
Yeah, but they teased it with the outfit.
Yes,
I know. They didn't just say a name, yeah.
I know.
So having Zemo come back in another costume, maybe even as like a teenage version of Zemo, or maybe another Kang would be cool. Because he seems like, from what we've been told by this, it doesn't look like it's a 40-year-old man going, "Hey kids, you want to hang out?"
No.
It looks like it's another like young, hip guy trying to make a difference.
Right.
Which could be young Zemo, it could be Iron Lad.
It could be Iron Lad.
Where is it going?
Exactly.
Change the name to Doc Justice, I guess.
Yeah, it could be Iron Lad.
And I just feel like the J Team is weird. Is it supposed to be the Justice Team?
Justice Team.
That's kind of rude for the Runaways to have their own name.
I mean, I think a lot of it also comes down to the Runaways will... Some characters, and we spoke about this way before, during the early day. Because
of the Champions book.
Yeah. This team, because Marvel said that they want to focus on teenage heroes coming into going into next year, and with Champions ending, and this looks like the Runaways is ending also, it's a way to combine the certain members of the team, where it's like some characters that worked really well in Champions that don't have their own solo books, like Camilla and Miles... Mm-hmm. Can come over this team where...
Yeah, like Viv and Locus.
Yeah.
And I want to call... Oh, what's his name? The kid who teleports.
I forgot his name.
Pinpoint, I think.
Yeah. And moving them over to that book where you can have the Runaways, where the older Runaways that, like Carolina expresses... And Carolina and Nico have both expressed interest in being superheroes.
Yeah.
On their own right, where people like Chase... And
Chase still wants to be young.
He wants to be an adult. Because he's an adult now. Remember, he's age. He's
Molly,
an adult.
Molly wants to stay
but Molly wants to be a little kid.
And so she put her on the Champions, maybe, and keep the Runaways as like adults, like Nico.
Well, like this J Team could be like...
Well, Nico's also part of A-Force.
Right. So, it's a lot of speculation, but we'll see where it goes on from here.
I'm down to see... I like the Runaways book, and I love Chris Anka's work.
Yeah.
So, I would absolutely love to see him doing another Marvel book, really. It doesn't have to be J Team, but I would just love to see him on another book.
Yeah.
And I do hope that they kind of spin, because with the champions being canceled like 10 or 12, I'd like to see more teen heroes.
Right.
Only because it does get a new demographic into books, rather than just like the guys who read Batman still come in and get Batman. People who doesn't read books pick up the Miles books, pick up champions for their Teen Titans fix on Marvel. Pick up Ironheart and Ms. Marvel. It's cool to see younger guys get into this, and I see Runaways as more of like a young adult comic book rather than like Kamala in Space or something.
Right.
So the Runaways being like, like I said, young adult. I feel like it rolls more with that. So getting readers to be like, oh, maybe I'll read another teen book.
Right.
I think it'll be cool.
We'll see. But I guess we'll go.
We'll see. Like tonight, the solicits come out later tonight or tomorrow.
I think they come out at midnight. I think they literally come out at midnight.
Next up is the topic of the week.
What a shitty intro for the topic of the week.
Topic of the week.
I told you, we need music for this part. I want music so bad.
I'll figure it out eventually, dude. It's harder than you think it is.
Anything could be better than that.
He edited the podcast last week, and he was like, I feel your pain. Yo, it's harder than you think it is. It's not too bad, because we don't do video. Still harder than you think it is. Yes. Like, I'm going to be up till 3 a.m. now, because I got two episodes to do.
It's like Andy from The Office.
Zacapella. So, this is part one of our Power Rangers Spectacular. Later this month is Power Ranger Day, celebrating 30 years of... Well...
I don't know if it's the anniversary, but I know it's just the Power Rangers Day.
Yes, it's the anniversary.
Yeah.
It's celebrating... Oh, wow.
20...
It's funny. Next week's my anniversary.
What else is it? 28?
28 years. Is it 28? 28, yeah.
That's when your anniversary is as well?
My anniversary is
27th. Oh, so
day
close.
Off. Yeah, it's always day off.
Ask Lee to change it.
I know, we shift it over, honey. So, the Power Ranger Day is celebrating 28 years of Power Rangers. We're going to double check that real quick.
I'm double checking.
Just in case. I think it's, because it's not 30, I know that. Because I feel like there would have been a big deal about
it. It's 20.
Because 25 years was the big.
Last year.
Yeah,
it was last year. So,
last year's 25?
Yeah, so this 26.
What was the year before?
Yep.
26?
Cool. So, sorry. 26th anniversary of Power Rangers in the United States.
Woo!
The series has been going on for...
Probably like close to 40.
Yeah.
Because it was like 15 years in Japan before they came over
here. Yeah, so way before that in Japan, I'm going to go through all this.
We'll go through it.
Power Rangers itself has been around in the United States in 1993, first appearing on Fox Kids.
So that would make this year the 26th.
Yes, yes, this is the 26th year for Power Rangers. Celebrating 26 years of Power Rangers, first appearing on Fox Kids on August 28th, 1993. With the episode Day of the Dumpster, introduced all our, well, mine and Danny's generation.
Yeah.
Not yours, Hunter.
You'll find out later when I got introduced into Power Rangers.
Far too late.
So far. I'm 10 years younger than half you guys. Calm down.
to five teenagers with attitude, lasting at least for Mighty Morphin Power Ranger purposes up until May 23rd, 1994. The series as a whole has been going on until this day, with new episodes airing every Saturday on Nickelodeon with Power Rangers Beast Morphers. So, a quick mini history of Power Rangers is that, did you know Power Rangers is based on Spider-Man?
What Spider-Man? Oh, Spidama?
No.
That one?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one from Japanese stuff?
Yes.
Japan?
Yes. So, alright, so this is how it went down.
That was rough to watch.
No, it wasn't. Spider-Man was awesome.
In Japan?
Yeah.
That's where he had the spider car, right?
Yes.
And he also shot webs, and they were just like, it was just a net.
Yep.
Yeah. So, all right.
And he had the big Megazord with the sword.
So, exactly.
They brought him into Spider-Geddon and stuff, which was super awesome.
Okay, so how
I love Spider-Man.
How it went down with this. Toei and Marvel Entertainment made a deal. Toei wanted to import some of their property over to the United States, and they needed an outlet to do so. They went to Marvel. Marvel was like, hey, we want to introduce foreign audiences to our properties. So we're going to lend Toei Spider-Man. Toei only read a little bit of the source material and was like, fuck it all.
Fuck it. Let's put him in a robot.
And they did their own take on it. Spider-Man would then...
Somebody would do your own take, though.
Right. Spider-Man would then inspire Toei to do another series in 1963, which was known as Kamen Rider. Kamen Rider then spun off into creating... For Toei to then create in 1966, Go Onger. Super Sentai Gohanger, which was the very first ever Super Sentai created, which is the start of the Power Rangers franchise as a whole. So without Spider-Man and Marvel Comics, we would never have Power Rangers.
Yay, Spider-Man!
Yay, Spider-Man! And you can see the homages that the original Super Sentai plays to the original Spider-Man live-action Japanese series. The giant robot that transforms, the sword, the alien monsters. In fact, the monsters. Yes. In fact, the villains from the Spider-Man series were actually became the main villains of Kamen Rider, the Black Cross organization.
Cool. That's cool.
So, Power Rangers.
Spider-Man's in Power Rangers canon.
Yeah, over in Japan, the Super Sentai continuity includes Spider-Man and Kamen Rider together.
That's awesome. Yep. Can we get a crossover book from that? Because we got Justice League Power Rangers. Why not Kamen Rider Spider-Man?
No, I mean, so I still want part awesome. 2 of Justice League.
yeah, we want that.
Hey, we're getting Let's Power get that Rangers first. Turtles now.
So I'm going to run down real quick some of the series that Power Rangers did. Give me 1 second. I want to do it in order.
And just correct you, the first Sentai was Go Ranger.
That's what it's Go Rangers.
Go Ranger was a much later
yes.
season.
Go Ranger. So, over here in the United States in 1993, we get Mighty Morph Power Rangers, which then leads down the road to many series, and we'll run down all 25 series.
Oh, jeez, here we go. We only touched upon like half of them and the other one.
Yeah. So we have Mighty Morph Power Rangers, Power Rangers Zeo, Power Rangers Turbo, Power Rangers in Space, and that was that was what they called the Saban era. Then you have Power Rangers Lost Galaxy, Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue, Power Rangers Time Force, Power Rangers Wild Force, Power Rangers Ninja Steel, Power Rangers Dial and Thunder, Power Rangers SPD, Power Rangers Mystic Force,
SPD Emergency,
Power Rangers Operation Overdrive, Power Rangers Jungle Fury, Power Rangers RPM, Power Rangers Samurai, Power Rangers Super Samurai, Power Rangers Mega Force, Power Rangers Super Mega Force,
I love those ones.
Power Rangers Dino Thunder, Power Rangers Dino Supercharge, Power Rangers Ninja Steel, and Power Rangers Super Ninja Steel, and now Air Nickelodeon is Power Rangers Beast Morphers, and they have promised they will not go Power Rangers Super Beast Morphers.
I was
Morphers
about to say,
season.
Can we get
Thank
Super Beast Morphers?
God, they're not doing
it'll
that.
It'll be Ultra Beast Morphers, it's fine.
I know. They're
just change the
fucking
edge,
wrong.
Change the edge, dude.
So Power Rangers stuff has been owned by 3 companies. Well,
Damn.
4,
well,
technically.
Yeah.
You had Saban, which was creation.
Which was Mighty Morphin.
Which was Mighty Morphin through.
Saban, Mighty Morphin was through the era up to Wild Force, and Wild Force was a split season at the end.
Yes, because that was actually the start of the Disney era.
I didn't hate the Disney era. That's when Ninja Storm came into play and
right.
stuff like that.
Disney, Wild Force, midway through the season, split into the Disney era, and then they shipped halfway through the season everything over to New Zealand, where they started filming the last bits of the Wild Force era.
So Wild Force, Ninja Storm, Dino Thunder, SPD, Mystic Force, Op Overdrive, and Jungle Fury, and the last season, RPM, which were all Disney era.
And then it went to Nickelodeon.
I'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
RPM actually was supposed to be the final season of Power Rangers. No.
Like ever?
Ever.
Yeah.
Ooh, for American release.
Well, yes.
For American releases.
Because originally, so
they're still going over like 80,000 over at the Sentai stuff.
So
I'd be surprised if they stopped that.
What ended up happening was RPM was supposed to be the final season. In fact, I know this because the final episode of RPM was on my birthday that year.
Oh no, that would have been so sad.
Yeah, no, we actually all got together at my house because I was 22.
And you thought they were going
to
end.
Time to drink.
Drink our sorrows away in our childhood.
And that was supposed to be the final season because no series had picked it up. So about a year and a half later, Mighty Morph Power Rangers was re-released as Power Rangers Revisited. Which was by Disney, and I know
that was
me and you
so
have just talked about it.
Boom!
I wanted to originally watch Power Rangers on Netflix, and I saw that there was 4 seasons on there. It was 1 through 3,
right.
And then something called Revisited. And I was like, James, should I watch this because it seems like it's like a remastered version? And he was like, no, they just add booms and pows and make it more like 90s pop art. And I was like, that sounds really bad.
And it was.
Yeah. And it was. And
I watched
it was actually,
one episode.
And
I was
it was
like,
actually on Saturday mornings as a whole season.
Yeah.
Yeah, it only did season 1 because they just stopped after
Yeah,
because
they...
Good thing.
Well, there's a reason why they stopped after season 1. Because Saban came back and bought the rights from Disney.
Nice.
With the promise of doing a multifaceted empire building with the franchise again.
Cool.
Going back to the original roots of MMPR.
Right. So it was supposed to be a theme park, a movie, which we did later get in 2017.
That movie wasn't terrible.
It wasn't. It just wasn't good in foreign markets.
No.
Because it was placated and only made for American audiences.
Which Hasbro has not.
We'll get to that in a second.
Hasbro Universe.
We'll get to that in a second.
Can't wait.
So, we are now into the Neo Saban era, which was Samurai, Super Samurai, Mega Force, and all of the other super crap.
Because Nickelodeon was like, let's just add super to shows.
Saban had a license with Nickelodeon, and Nickelodeon still currently has the licensing rights to view them. Yes, the Air and Beast Morphers.
Oh, Super Mega Force.
Which would have been the best season. That should have been the pinnacle.
That was the one where they could summon the other colors.
Yes.
Like, if they were red, they could do any red power they wanted.
Yes.
Right.
And how is that not the best one?
Because the actors were awful and the storyline was terrible.
Not even that. I can't. I can't even say the actors were horrible. It was the writing, which was horrific.
Yes.
It was Saban at its best with writing.
It was bad. Awful. Yeah.
It was not awful. And the actors couldn't do anything about it.
You guys could probably write a better Power Rangers show.
I 100% could.
And now with Beast Morphers, we are into what is now known as a Hasbro era.
I hate the Hasbro era.
So far, it's not bad. They're doing it right. Right. Under the Neil Saban era, that's when they started re-releasing the figures. Mm-hmm. Danny brought his Dragon Dagger with him. With the re-release of some of the figures, we got what was called Legacy Line. The Legacy Line allowed us kids of the 90s to get toys and stuff that we grew up with.
Hold it down.
Which one does the thing?
Yep.
There it is.
we allowed us to get toys that we grew up with. Mm-hmm. And Hasbro has continued this line with the Lightning series.
Correct.
So, and Hasbro has also said that they haven't taken away anything. They're not going to take away anything from the series. The only thing they said they might change is distribution rights, which is fine.
Yeah.
If anything, Hasbro has almost made an unspoken promise to the fans of doing it right. They're doing it the best way they know how. I mean, Hasbro had Transformers for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they've made Transformers a household name again.
And other properties that people wouldn't necessarily think of.
I mean, they didn't do great when they were trying to build a universe within their IDW's comics, because they also own a part of IDW. But comics are a different thing, and
comics are a whole new medium.
Yeah, whole new medium, and we're about to cover that now.
Okay, I was like, why the fuck did you bring that out?
There's a reason why I brought that out. So, in 2017?
It says, GoGo was 16, I think.
I know, because one of them was 17.
No, GoGo was 17.
My Morphin Toe. March 2016, Kyle Higgins and Boom Studios brought to us Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the comic book series. Set in the modern era, we got a kind of modernized update of our Rangers. And along the same lines, a year and a half later, Boom Studios releases Go-Go Power Rangers, written by Ryan Parrott and drawn by Dan Mora, who is one of my favorite artists of all time. I love Dan Mora. Which catalogs the day after Rita's arrival. So everything from, it's really supposed to be like a filler between episode one, like between them getting the powers and like the ending of episode one, which doesn't matter. And that's why Danny's here. So we're going to talk about Power Rangers, the comic, and the three sagas they've gone through. Danny, do you remember the three sagas they've gone through on the main comic book?
No.
first one was Shattered Grid. That was the main saga.
That was a fourth arc. Yeah, that's considered the fourth arc.
So, what were the first three?
The first arc was Green Ranger Year 1. Arc 2 was Black Dragon, Lord Draken. Arc 3 was not named technically, but it's Day in the Life of.
Okay.
And then Arc 4 was Shadow Grid. Then Arc 5 is Beyond the Grid. And then Arc 6, which the story arc we're currently in, is Necessary Evil, which is actually really fun. I love Necessary Evil.
Necessary Evil is good. And I didn't actually think that the other ones were all major arcs.
Yep.
I just thought they were all...
That's how they break it down in the series, because it's a little bit easier.
Fair.
And Go-Go is the same thing.
It just all led to an amazing Shattered Grid.
Shattered Grid's fantastic. All right, Dan. What were some of your favorite moments, and I guess Hunter U2?
Note, I didn't read the book.
And you too, Hunter?
I never read it.
This is the part where Hunter goes quiet like I was
That's
before.
That's what I was going to do. Like, I read the first... I read issue zero, I think, when it first came out. Right. And I was like, oh, this is pretty cool, but I was never a huge, huge Power Rangers fan. When I was a kid, I loved it. But then I always thought it was kiddie, and I was like, oh, I'll grow up past it. I start working here, and James is like, dude, do you watch Power Rangers? I'm like, you're 30. Like,
I'm 30.
So this is actually where it's funny for me, because of growing up the fan that I have, my always watching Power Rangers, and obviously collecting the Legacy line as an adult, right up until and through marriage.
Must be nice.
You could probably continue.
I know. Yeah.
Don't worry, guys. You'll be fine.
I actually came into the comics. I want to say my first issue that was. A live, or whatever you want to consider it, a new issue was issue 17. I got all my other books through trade. I started six months late.
I think you did.
Yeah, I for some reason didn't pick up the books. I was like, no, I'm not going to get into it. I can't believe they didn't. You know, they're doing this. I thought it was kind of like a money grab, and then kicking myself now because the books are, I think, are just amazing.
Yeah, fantastic.
What they, you know, we went into it before
recording some other stuff for another special.
We went into this a little bit before.
We'll talk about it at the end.
It was one of those things where the writing and the illustration takes these characters that we loved as kids and threw them into a whole nother dimension, in some ways quite literally.
Yes, pretty much. So what would you think is your favorite? All right, so between the two books, we are able to see the character grow and develop differently than we did on the show. So what do you think is like some of your biggest, what's your biggest plus, I'll break it out to the two different series. For Go-Go, mm-hmm. What do you think is your biggest positive of the series and your biggest negative of the series so far?
So with Go-Go, ooh, negative. I did not anticipate having a negative question. It's hard.
It's not an interview, man. It's just a question.
No. You know what it is? Because I it's hard for me to find negatives when it comes to any stuff that it's like I'm into.
Yeah, of course. Like, no one wants to see the shit they read or love is kind of crappy.
Fair. The one thing that I think with Go-Go that I very much appreciate, and I especially now after the events of Shattered Grid, Go-Go's changed it up a little bit. They've added more dimension to a couple of the characters. Two big ones, especially being Jason and Trini, adding a love interest between them, which is creating a great dynamic in the book. At the same time, after the events of Shattered Grid, we come back and the team that we knew from the very beginning have now all changed up colors, literally.
Right.
So you have this, wait a second, no longer is Jason the leader in the Red Ranger. He's now the Yellow Ranger. And you have Zach, the Pink Ranger.
That's really cool. I like that stuff. So I really do like that.
It's an interesting change-up, which is making for a fun dynamic. And you're getting to see the team early on, you know, in their life cycle as far as Rangers and dealing with their powers and growing.
See, so that's the thing. I really think so what would you think your negative would be then?
Yeah, a negative for Go-Go, I don't know. If I had to nitpick, I would say a negative for Go-Go is that it's not MMPR.
It's like, it's not this other thing. It's like, what's your, like, negative for Pepsi? That's not Coke.
Yeah, like, that's actually a great comparison. It's not MMPR, and I say that because I love both books, but MMPR, I think has gone light years ahead, okay, as far as their characters and you know, where their arcs are going, and I want to know more about those characters. I kind of feel like in Go-Go, I'm like, all right, I kind of figure out where these characters are going. MMPR, I want to know where they are, like what's happening.
Hey guys, sorry to interrupt. Breaking news: the J team was confirmed to be Runaways. We got it right. You're welcome. Sorry, go back.
Sorry,
this
mean...
is yours. I stole it.
That's fine.
Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Finally, breaking news on our show.
This just in.
Exactly. Sorry, continue.
But yeah, sorry, back to our regular schedule programming. I think the whole thing with Go-Go, I guess I'll tell you my plus and minus with Go-Go. With Go-Go, I think the biggest plus side is that we do, and we've said this a million times, and I think that one of the biggest praises is that they definitely explore, you know, Ryan Parrott and now Ryan Higgins. I want to say Ryan Higgins. It doesn't matter.
Brian, thank you.
Brian Higgins? I want to say Brian Higgins.
I think. Correct us, somebody.
No.
Oh, wait, we have the book right here.
I have the book here.
I thought it was Brian.
Oh, he's Brian. He's on the Shiny.
Yeah. Ryan Parrott's doing both books. He did Go-Go, and then he did, now he's doing that. Okay. Kyle Higgins did Mighty Morphin. That's what it was.
Okay.
Because he did Nightwing. I don't know. I didn't think of. What Kyle Higgins did in Mighty Morphin, and Ryan Parrott has done in now both books, is that exploring the teens as they are is great. And I love that. It's like adding like that CW drop of drama.
Yeah, like just dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, just enough
teen drama that you want that'll give us like, oh, they actually do have feelings rather than just being cookie-cutter radical teens.
Yeah, without going overboard into that.
Yeah.
Like, you saw that really a lot in Go-Go, where you could see her relationship with Matt. Kim's and Matt's relationship. My one negative with Go-Go, and I don't know whether it was because of what Ryan Parrott has planned and what they had planned beforehand, before Shattered Grid, is that originally, and I know this, if you follow Dan Mora on Instagram or Twitter, he puts up unused design art for some of the characters and some of the monsters and stuff. And one design art he had was for Matt to become the Silver Ranger.
That would be awesome.
In the book. And I think that was an original plan, but because of things like Shattered Grid, they were like, don't do that. We might do that down the line because we want Necessary Evil to mean something or whatever. Shattered Grid to mean something. So you can't have...
I can see that.
So, and even if you look at the original Solitz and the original pitch right before Go-Go came out, it was to explore a mysterious Sixth Ranger that existed before Tommy was the Sixth Ranger. And that's what it was told to retailers and even to...
Which you could tell in that, you could tell definitely in the writing that they were leading to something with him.
Yes.
And an arc that was very interesting the entire time. And we kind of touched on it before with what ended up happening with the Finster molding putty.
Yeah.
Monsters that they created, which was kind of pretty cool. And then you had the whole arc where Matt had to struggle with PTSD.
Yeah. Because he's like, oh,
that's the stuff you never get in the old Power Rangers.
You know, no, that's the stuff that you don't want. That's the stuff that you don't get from many teenagers in general. Yeah. Like you don't get many teenagers that are dealing with issues like that. Like, he was a teenager that was trapped by an evil space witch.
Yeah, he wasn't even part of the Power Rangers, right?
No, he was like the boyfriend. He was just the boyfriend that was trying to protect his girlfriend.
Yeah,
and he got pulled into this whole mess.
That'd be insane.
And then he had to see himself walk out of this place and know that it was like
not him.
Yeah,
like that's gotta mess with you.
I think that's one of the only downsides with Go-Go is that they didn't finish that story. But
why did they finish it? Did they switch writers?
No, Ryan Parrott he actually went to do both books now.
Oh,
he's doing both books.
So Kyle Higgins left.
So what happened is Kyle Higgins left. Okay. Marguerite Benison. So Kyle Higgins took it from issue one of Mighty Morphin through Shattered Grid.
Okay, which is 30-something,
right? Right. Marguerite Benner then took it up and did this mini run.
With the Solar Rangers.
Right. Okay. It was Beyond the Grid. And then now we're into Necessary Evil with Ryan Parrott taking over both books.
Okay. Beyond the Grid, we did not touch on
it. And we will talk about that in a second.
Well, this is supposed to be about the comics. The other one was supposed to be... Yeah.
No.
Yeah. We're going to get to that in a second. I think what they told him was not to continue that Six Rangers story because of Shattered Grid.
Right.
They're like, no, we want this to be the story, and if you introduce a ranger that's never been seen before in this...
It's going to be weird to throw them in both.
It's going to be like, oh...
It's going to negate the strong influence that you Lord had Draken with had. Draken.
Yeah, and you have to... Because you're not going to put him in an issue and then cover Shattered Grid and then go after Shattered Grid to focus on him. I wonder if
they'll pick it up afterwards.
I hope so. Ryan Parrott, who designed and did Go-Go, one through two now... It's doing both books now, so he has total control of Power Rangers going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely want
to
see that.
Which is fine, because, I mean, he's got the ability to tell the arcs in a great way. And quite frankly, I mean, it was a smart decision, because every book, when it came to Shattered Grid, every next book was another step where we saw Draken either change form or take something that another power, or take another hero down that we loved, and it was like there was always something big happening in Shattered Grid. Right. So to turn around and have someone just be like, oh, by the way, here's a brand new Sixth Ranger.
Yeah.
In the middle of all of this mess.
If it was taken away Shattered Grid,
it would have just, everyone would have been like, well,
cool, but.
Yeah. So I guess we'll jump from Go-Go to Mighty Morphin to, all right, so we know Mighty Morphin's been running longer, and I said before.
Mighty Morphin's almost 50, right?
Yes.
Past 50?
It's at 41.
It's at 41.
Ooh, the 50. That 50 issue 50 is going to be dope.
No,
it's going to be so many covers.
Oh, can't wait.
That's going to be good.
All the shiny covers.
All the shinies.
Well, we're at two shiny covers right now, and...
We have the homage covers with the Superman, the Spider-Man. I wonder what they're going to do for the 50.
Oh,
that'd be crazy.
There's some great covers, but they also had the X-Men type, the Uncanny crossover cover.
Oh, yeah.
They had the connector cover.
Yep.
Mm.
Which was a great... I actually have that cover where it unfolds.
My friend went to San Diego for work, and he ended up getting every single cover that folds out into that.
That's awesome.
He has every single issue that becomes the Uncanny.
They're doing it.
journalist?
Yes.
Okay. They're doing it in such a great way. And, I mean, even the milestone number 40, I mean, you open it up and it was...
Issue 40 was the one with the Superman crossover, right? The cover?
Yeah, that's what I have.
Why didn't they save it for 50?
I mean, well, it made sense for 40. If I actually didn't see that cover, I have to take a look
at
that.
It's an exclusive cover to, like, one of those comic shops, like, Connecticut. Chris got it for me.
Okay.
Got it. You're going to get it for me.
You have to show me a picture of that. But is it the White Ranger?
Yeah,
it's why, because number 40 has a reveal of the White Ranger final.
Oh, that's why. Okay,
Up until issue 40,
I was confused about it. Yeah.
Right, up until issue 40, you never see the White Ranger. All you see from the White Ranger is Saba.
Yeah,
which he gets beheaded. R.I.P. Yeah.
So we're gonna talk about Mighty Morphin. So Mighty Morphin has been going on a little bit longer than Go-Go, and has had now three different writers. You've had Kyle Higgins, who's known for Nightwing and a bunch of other big DC Marvel books. You then had Margaret Bennett. He wrote from Green Ranger Year 1 up into and including Shattered Grid. He left the series and gave the keys over to Margaret Bennett, who did Beyond the Grid, which honestly, in my opinion, is the weakest of the story so far.
And so who was the second writer?
Margaret Bennett.
Okay.
Animosity right now. She did Insects.
And who's the third writer?
Third writer is Ryan Parrott.
Ryan Parrott.
Who did Go-Go from 1 through now and is now doing both books.
It's good to have the same writer do them, honestly. Right. When you originally told me that there were two different writers, I was like, I mean, they obviously email each other and talk, but it's somewhat of a disconnect.
Yes.
And now that he can connect them both, I feel like it's good.
It is, but I appreciate the idea of having two writers because you get two different perspectives.
You also write them at different times in their lives, too.
And that's what it was.
Yeah. Right, but you get two different perspectives that... If you work together in the right way, if you get like a good team up, you can make them work kind of like cohesively.
Right.
It sometimes is nice to see two different perspectives, especially with two different books.
I have a question. How many years apart is Go-Go and Mighty Morphin in the comics?
It's not even a year.
Okay, I was going to say, if they were like 3 years apart, do a crossover where they're time traveling and they all meet up.
I know.
But if it's 7 months apart, why bother?
It's not really, because like, so how they explain it is for show purposes, it's that Go-Go, the first story arcs, take place a day after they get their powers for the first time.
Forward.
Because I remember watching the show, after episode one, they jump like months ahead and they're already masters of everything.
Right.
Like, we know how to do everything. And I'm like... I guess well, that
they,
works.
Well, they not do everything, but they do. I mean. They do kind of what you say, time jump and take character because the
you have to see the show.
Yeah, it's a show.
But I'm saying in the comic, in Go-Go and in MMPR, they actually took the. If I'm saying this correctly, they took the Green Ranger from MMPR into Go-Go.
Yes. Yes,
towards the end of Shattered Grid. That's how they end up.
Shattered Grid, yeah.
That's how they end up actually bringing Tommy back.
Yeah, so they go from it's really from Day of the Dumpster through skipping Green Ranger with Evil and going into Green Ranger and Team.
Which Go-Go. In Go-Go, they've actually just introduced. Well, I'm a few issues behind on Go-Go because I always put that one.
Well, spoiled.
It's a redhead stepchild of the two books. So I always catch up on MMPR and then. Go back
because Mighty Morphin is current. The other one, it's like, hey, you can catch up whenever. You didn't have to read it.
But there, it was great now, and I'll go back to my MMPR change in a second. What Ryan Parrott's doing is what John Hickman is doing for X-Men. It's two stories in one.
Right.
Where, and I love talking about X-Men, so I'm going to talk about X-Men. Where House of X is current and Powers of X is the future, you have Go-Go and Power and MMPR where Go-Go is the past, MMPR is the present. So, and how both those stories intertwine. Because there are things that are happening, because now you don't have the Jason, Trini, Zach dynamic in MMPR anymore, but you still have their dynamic back in Go-Go.
Mm-hmm.
So one story is leading up to when they leave and why, for spoilers, for people that haven't read the book before, that them leaving for Sweden was, or Switzerland was for. From the series, which was they're going off to form their own team. And you see the start of that in Go-Go.
Which I honestly didn't even think about what you just said until you just said it. it's actually really cool to think about because now Go-Go is catching up to the point where essentially Shattered Grid Star or MMPR Star.
I think GoGo's going to end at issue 50 or so.
Well,
cap it off at like
here's the thing. GoGo is now literally catching up in the timeline to where MMPR started.
They could stretch it.
Right.
It's now. Now they're filling in the gaps of.
Do you think GoGo would continue the whole Matt Ranger story if they catch up enough?
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. That's a possibility because you're looking at now where the series is, where everything went awry in an MMPR with the whole Drakkon. You don't have that in GoGo. GoGo, at this point in their life where they're meeting Tommy and they're moving forward, they don't have. Nice. They don't have that whole Drakkon thing to deal with, so now they're just going to be starting to deal with Rita and the normal stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can have the introduction of those characters.
That's true, and what I think is...
It's actually it's so weird. I think
each about story will be parallel, where you have MMPR going forward for the future stuff, while GoGo's will eventually catch up, but they're laying the stepping stones for stories for MMPR to do.
Right, and but they're also filling in the gap that we completely now have from the whole Drakkon Shattered Grid Era, because MMPR, their lives were going normal with Tommy as the newly issued Green Ranger and everything like that, and then all of a sudden, their lives got twisted upside down.
And now they also live in a world where...
Unless you're about to spin off into a full Fresh Prince of Bel-Air thing.
Very close.
I was like,
very close.
I was going to, and I didn't want to derail James.
What was cool in the most recent issues, now we know, because the world's been rewritten because of what happened.
Right.
And we know that the emissaries, at least one of the emissaries has gone after the Jason to fix what got messed up.
Right.
And we see the actual situation later on. So what happens from that moment to get to this point when they leave?
Right.
That starts getting told in GoGo, while GoGo's the well after they have left part, and Tommy's the new leader and everything. So, like I said, it's House X, Powers of X. It's Power Rangers GoGo. It's two series that are one story.
Right.
And I think that's... It just shows Best how present. Great... Yeah, and I think how great... It shows how great Ryan Parrott is as a writer.
Right.
The balance of story.
To parallel both of them and not even have them, like... Not accidentally be like, whoops, wrong script. You know what I mean?
And I think one of the better parts, honestly, is that he's balancing it. And like you say, you can bring up that Matt story again if you really want to.
Because he can touch into it.
Yeah, and then like have, even if you saw...
Introduce Matt again through GoGo and be like, this is their first interaction before they started dating or whatever. I didn't read everything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But I mean, they showed Matt, like Matt's in...
He's in GoGo 17?
Yeah, he's in GoGo 17 talking to Kim about, oh, hey, how's things with Tommy? They had just broken up.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, what's up?
She hugs him at one point, and she's like, I'm sorry, or something like that to Matt.
So you have him back in the book, so you can still do that Six Ranger story with Matt.
Or even do it as an annual that ties into, like, a Lost Chronicle or something.
And you can have
You also have the story where, like, what they did with Beyond the Grid, which Beyond the Grid was a great story arc.
It's a good concept. I think it just fell flat story-wise.
That was Margaret Bennett's one, right?
I'll go first. I do want to hear someone actually talk really good about the series. That part is good. I like the concept. I really like exploring outside the universe, all the Rangers, where the Zero Crystal came from, and all of those stuff. I think the problem that Margaret Bennett did is that because she had a mixed team of Rangers, for fans of the series like us, we didn't need the catch-up to explain, like, oh, well, this Ranger came from this and this. You don't need to do an issue around it. The problem is, she's writing for a comic audience that may not know who the Magnum Defender is, who the Dark Dino Ranger is, who, you know, this, I mean, Ranger Slayer, if you were reading the book, you already knew.
Yeah.
You know, who Yellow Zero Ranger is. You know, so I think the biggest problem is that we didn't get to that point, you know, she had to spend half her run explaining these characters. And trying to make you give a crap about them.
And she only
them.
Did, like, what, 10 issues or so?
I think she did about...
Yeah, Beyond the Grid, I think, was about just 10 about issues. 10 issues. Yeah.
10 or 12
which,
or whatever.
Which, alright, I could see that point, definitely, where you say that it falls flat. Because not only do you have that issue where you have to explain these characters in... four splash pages and, you know, quickly give their history, like Mike with his issues.
Yeah.
I think they should have tried to squeeze in an annual that had three stories that were all the new guys.
That would have been the better.
That would have been the better arc, but, I mean, the good part about Beyond the Grid, which I loved very much was seeing the origin of the Zeo Crystals, yeah. seeing the origin of the powers of the grid and the Morphin grid, and seeing how these the emissaries and the Morphin Master, how they actually control this power, and how there's this ability to actually like cut that power off.
Exactly, how the actual universe works. So before we wrap up, there's two things I want to do. With Paradise has done two spin-off series so far. They've done Mighty Morphin Pink, which was set in...
That was awesome.
Which was a side series set after she had left for Switzerland, which is funny.
I would hope they do more with a bunch of...
After she had quit.
Looking back on it, it's almost like a parallel to like a Hawkeye Ronin, where he goes off on his own, which was awesome. Yeah.
I think they should do a lot more books like that. Like, do like a Black, do a Red, do all of those. So like they did with Legacy of the Dragon.
Right. So things like Legacy of the Dragon, which was a
OGN. Old Man Tommy.
You know, the OGN with Soul Dragon, the Mighty Morphin Pink, and then doing the Justice League Power Rangers. What would be one project that you guys would want to see them do?
Power Rangers Ghostbusters. How cool would that be? Wow. Yeah, Megazord that has the freaking Ecto. I was thinking about it the other day.
This is not the first time he said this.
I thought about it the other day because I was reading Transformers Ghostbusters, and I was like, what other franchises would be great? And I looked it up. They've already done Ghostbusters with Turtles.
Yeah.
And they've done Ghostbusters kind of crossing over with, like, the old Hasbro stuff, like G.I. Joe and Mask. And I thought it would be cool to see, like, a Megazord all of a sudden get a giant, like, I don't remember. What's the gun called? Wow.
The photon?
The proton pack. Gets a proton pack, and they all shoot at it, and then, it would be awesome. Or have, like, the Ghostbuster symbol appear on the chest. How cool would that be?
And who are they versing? The Marshmallow?
They could fight anybody. It could be a ghost of, like, Ghost of Goldar. Why not?
You've clearly thought about this.
I want to do it. If no one's going to do it, I'll do it. Like, hit me up. I got you.
Just get the Ghostbusters game and get your Ghostbuster fixed.
Dude, I can't wait for that game to be remastered.
Next month.
All right, Danny. I threw that at you real quick. I know.
You know what one's coming. We've discussed this. Since Hasbro has had the rights, I want Transformers.
I thought Power Rangers. Say Voltron.
They don't have the rights.
They don't have the rights.
Your dream project.
No, my honest dream one would be Transformers Power Rangers.
I've been
wanting this team up since I could think of, since I was a little kid, when I had Optimus Prime smashing together with the Dragon Zord and not understanding why they didn't fit together.
It's like, why don't they fit? Make them all fit. That's like,
that'd be a great one.
That's Justin's like dream.
That's what I'm saying. Because like, you could have one of the Megazords be an actual Transformer, just like how they did with Ecto.
But here's the thing, and this is where James and I have discussed this. This is what they've already done in the books. They've already shown that the powers of the Rangers and the powers of the grid enable the Rangers to manipulate any of their Zords to work as a Megazord, as long as they dream it, they can make it. So that's basically the premise of some of those Megazords that they made in Shattered Grid.
We've seen so many like crossovers with that. I'm surprised Voltron wasn't the first one they ever did, as seeing as it's so close to the original concept.
But that's the problem. That's the thing. It is so close. You have lions and dinosaurs. Voltron also has a much deeper lore than Power Rangers, where it's like the origin stuff versus what the stuff is now. It's completely different.
Right.
But then again,
Power Rangers,
Transformers, Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but Transformers has always been consistent with where it has. Transformers has its consistency where they come from Cybertron and everything.
And they go to
and that's where you and I have discussed this.
Yeah,
that's so I don't want to step on your toes
I have a way different dream.
But I want to see that where they have the different dimensions. They have the ability to say Zordon was in this dimension. He met the Autobots. He met Cybertron. He was there. Yeah. He met Ops Primus.
Yeah.
That's where he got the idea for the Zords. He saw the
Constructicons
pull
together, and it was like,
But that's the idea of the Transformers. The Transformers look, they're autonomous beings, so they look at something and then they transform to hide themselves.
Yeah.
The Zords took on the forms of what they say.
It's kind of like the Dinobots.
Right, exactly.
But that's exactly it. Later on with Turbo, the Car Rangers, I mean, that's the thing. They take on the forms around them. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I would love to see is that crossover.
I'm surprised it didn't happen.
And with Hasbro in it. So I guess I'll do mine. I know they've already done... They already did DC Justice League Just see Power Rangers, which I just want as part two, finally.
Yeah.
Because I want to see Brainiac Control Alpha.
Eventually.
Yeah, well, I mean, Brainiac Control Alpha.
That'd be awesome.
But I definitely would want to see, like, as a Power Ranger fan, I would want to. And they're doing TMNT Power
Rangers. Yeah, TMNT's the newest one.
This year. I would like to see them, now that they did the DC Universe, to see either a Marvel Universe version of it.
Not, I wouldn't say the Avengers. I would say, say Avengers. Like a teenage. No, I don't want to say Champions.
I would say, like, either, like, Runaways, Young Avengers.
Young Avengers would be cool. Young Avengers. Rick and Hulkling, like the OG
Young Avengers.
Kate Bishop could talk to Kim.
Yeah, the original Young Avengers teaming up with the original Mighty Morphin.
That'd be cool.
And there'd be, like, something where, like, because Kang's involved, you know, going after Young Kang.
Yeah. That could somehow tie into
and they Power break Rangers. And they break something along the way, and then the Power Rangers and them swap places. So the Young Avengers are now
piloting a Megazord.
Well, the Young Avengers are in Angel Grove, and Zordon's like, "Well, we have to give you these power coins, and you're gonna become Power Rangers." And the Young Avengers,
so you thought about this too.
I thought about this. This is not a first time for me.
Can we get like Vision or Iron Man in there somehow, like Old
well,
Man you, Iron Man?
Well,
or
we Vision. Because Vision's all
Young
Avengers.
Yeah. Vision will be Alpha.
Yeah, because then you have like the Power Rangers showing up in Angel Grove, and they're like, "Well, we can't be this, but we're superheroes, and they're trying to help out." And like the Avengers are like, "Who are you guys?" And like they steal like weapons and shit to help fight.
Or they at least just do some kung fu. Something. They team up with the Defenders at first, and then they eventually find out that they've
been Kang's swapped.
Manipulating or something due to maybe Vision monitoring the young team and then figuring out, or even another version of Kang showing up.
Exactly.
Or maybe Iron Lad doesn't get transferred over and he stays, and then he's like, "We gotta go fucking get you guys back."
Exactly. And you tap into their version.
Make it happen.
Yes, that'd be my dream project.
All right, guys, now we gotta talk about book reviews.
Yes.
These are gonna be rapid-ish.
Yeah, cause it's not that. It's nothing crazy. I guess I'll go first, because actually I want to do mine first, because it's something I want to talk about. So this week I covered, for our book review, is pretty violent, with some swears, because it is a small little...
With some swears.
With a little subtitle. It's made by Image, and it's the new number one, written by Derek Hunter, and art by Jason Young.
What's funny about Pretty Violent is I was gonna text my buddy Derek,
because
his name is Derek Hunter, and I was gonna be like, "Did you write a book and not tell me?" But I know he didn't.
Okay.
But it's funny that it's the same exact name.
So
sorry. Continue about your review.
The big
it's number
about,
one, right?
Yes, new number one Image. The big thing about Pretty Violent, which I love so much, it's just I Hate Fairyland set with superheroes.
It's I Hate Invincible, basically.
Yeah, it's I Hate Invincible. That's exactly what the book is. The character, she's a misunderstanding. She is. I want to say her name's Gamma Ray. Her name's Gamma Ray. And she has, like, small... Like, she has just your basic overarching powers, strength, fight, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But she's hated by everybody. Heroes and villains alike. And
Probably because she's annoying.
Yeah, because she is annoying. And she is invincible. She is just invincible.
Yeah.
But set in I Hate Fairyland. It's the artwork style is...
That's why Ryan Otley did a cover for it.
Yeah, and that's why.
That's the one I picked up.
Exactly. I can't say... I don't want to spoil a lot about the book, because there is a joke with it. I actually have two favorite scenes.
Is it like a parody of sorts?
Yes.
Okay.
It's cool, a parody of like superheroes in general.
Okay.
And but like she herself is a parody, walking parody.
That's like Batman.
Yeah. But I mean, she herself is a walking parody because she's like, "I'm trying to help, but you're an idiot." Like, like
she says,
scenes,
"Fuck this, fuck off." I think.
Well,
right?
That's why it's
with some swears.
With some swears. So I have two favorite scenes in the book. One, at the end, they make from a crisis, where it's like a time travel thing, which I'm like, I'm a sucker for crisis. But my big favorite part of the book is actually where she says fuck for the first time, and like they're like, "Oh, what'd you say?" And like, "Oh, you killed this guy." And I'm like, it's good. The series, it's funny. I definitely want to see where it goes. I don't see this lasting more than like a 6-issue mini.
I see it being 12-issue, actually.
You know.
I see how they can like make more parodies and stuff into it. I don't see it as a super long, super lasting... book.
No, I don't either. But I do definitely think it's going to be a good series. If you want something that's funny, and again, I think I've been reading more comedy books lately.
You're welcome.
I know.
wait. Sean, you thought I wouldn't slip this in, but this is for you, buddy. Howard the Duck. There we go. Had to get it in there.
So, and thanks, Sean, for the... I forgot to thank him last week. Thank you for the Betty Page. I showed my fiance. She actually really enjoyed it.
I bet she did.
She actually did. She didn't mind. So...
Back to your review. Sorry,
you
just had to talk about Sean.
But my big thing is, I think because it's funny, and it's if you want something that's light, that you're an adult and you want something that's funny, that's
it's kind of like Spawn Kills Everything.
Yeah, there's just a joke on superhero stuff. Definitely pick it up, enjoy it. You know, I'll definitely give it a 5 out of 5 because hate comedy books,
as much as I don't like the artwork, it looks fantastic.
I like the artwork because it fits that comedy.
It fits the concept.
It fits the concept. Yeah. That's why
my book is Bad Reception, written and drawn by John Doe or Juan. Juando?
Juando.
Juando. It is an Aftershock book. It is a new number one. It's about this tech mogul and this super popular super actress. She's like the most famous in the world on social media. They're going off the grid to have a wedding, and something goes wrong. At the beginning of the book, you see just bubbles of text about the main character doing an interview for his book.
Oh, I have so ads for that book.
And then at the end, you see like a woman is murdered, and you're assuming it's the wife. And as you go through, it does. I really like this because it's going to kind of go into me explaining the book. But so on the top of each page, there is like the story that's going on. And on the bottom, there's this weird like haunted murder thing going on where this guy's like hunting in the woods. And then he draws a hashtag on like a cell phone.
Right.
And it's supposed to be like, so they're going on an off-the-grid wedding and they're only inviting 8 people.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a whodunit.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
But we kind of already know that it wasn't anyone they invite unless this is a red herring.
Right.
Because the bottom is literally some dude murdering something, cutting things up, getting blood. It's fantastic. And I love Juan Do's art and how it works with it. I do like the kind of message that it's also sending out, like, don't be attached to your phone. They actually make it's nomophobia.
Okay.
It's the whole fear of not having a phone and not being connected to the internet. I think it's really cool. And like I said, the artwork, it does work for this. His artwork is hit or miss sometimes. Okay. Another book came out called Strayed.
Okay.
I don't think the artwork works in that book, but it works in this book. It's a little weird, but I still like it.
So what, out of 5, what would you give it?
4.5. Awesome. I don't want to give it a full 5 because if the twist is really stupid, I'm going to be pissed.
Okay. And it's funny because the ads
for it. And the cover looks awesome.
I love the cover. The ads for it always just have their bad reception as it being a wedding, and I didn't know it had anything to do with cell phones.
Yeah, I thought it was a bad reception. It's a play on words.
Yes.
I thought it was just going to be, it was a bad reception with a murder.
Right.
But it's actually literally about, it's a whole like study on like people without their phones. That's cool. And it's,
I like that. I think
it's awesome. I can't wait for that one though.
So, all right. So, we'll go on.
Like I said, 4.5.
That's awesome. And we'll go from Hunter's Review to our store book of the week.
Which is Ghost Spider number 1.
Written by?
Written by, Cena McGuire and drawn by Takeshi Miyazawa.
Awesome.
It is, so the last Spider-Gwen book.
It's a sequel. It's a sequel.
The last Spider-Gwen book was only 10 issues, and then they wanted to launch into this where she's going to
school.
College. In the main 616 universe. Yes. At the beginning of the book, it shows her, not breaking up with the band, but like kind of telling the band, hey, I'm going to a different dimension for school. Bye.
And the reason for that is, if you've read the last Ghost Spider series, she's outed as Spider-Woman in the Earth 65, her home
they
universe.
They did that a while ago, though.
Right.
They did that before her last series.
I know.
They did it before Spider-Ganon.
But because it leads up to, like, the death of certain characters in that series, she wants a normal life. I mean, she can't have that normal. She even says in the book, she can't have a normal life or go to school or get a job here because everyone knows she's Spider-Woman.
Exactly.
So, or at that point, she's calling herself Ghost Spider because Gwen Stacy is dead, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
So now she moves over to Earth 616 to go to school at ESU.
No, I thought this was weird. Peter works at the college now?
Yes.
But in the main book, he's going there.
Yes.
What's the timeline on this?
Don't worry about things like that.
Okay.
You're going to open up a whole can of worms about how books fall and...
Well, because it takes place after Spider-Geddon, and that book does take place after Spider-Geddon.
Yes.
But it's a whole
thing. He works there, but yes.
Anyway,
that's a whole can of worms.
He works at the college, but he's still going...
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little bit old. Because they do talk about... Could be a TA.
Yeah.
They do talk about Kirk Connors.
Yeah. So... You have that one story that where she's just going, you know, trying to find her life, and that's what this entire issue is really about. It's to catch up people that didn't read the last Spider-Gwen series,
basically what it is,
and to set up her new status quo going forward.
Yeah,
and that's actually one of my biggest bonuses for the series. Actually, I don't have any negatives.
I read the other series too. I didn't like it as much as you do because I think it being a number one and it's also a continuation, I don't like the catch up.
Right.
Issue 10 literally came out like 3 weeks ago.
Right.
I don't need a recap of what just happened.
Okay.
The only thing that honestly transfers over from that book is JJ is the mayor and he's like, get my son out of prison because his son is Man-Wolf. The wolf and he is, he just got arrested at the end because he's a gangster.
Yes.
And it's just, oh yeah, we'll talk about that. And so I just think it's just a disconnect. I think it's even the same creative team.
It is.
And they were just like, hey, we're going to relaunch it and put it in a different... Why not just go issue 11 or even go expand it to 12 if you want to do it with the graphic novels?
Yeah.
And just say, now she's going here instead of canceling it and doing a whole new book. You could have easily just changed the title of it too. Title changes happen midway through books anyway.
Well, they did. Spider-Gwen, then Spider-Gwen.
It was Red Hood and the Outlaws, now it's just Red Hood Outlaw.
Yeah, well, Spider-Gwen was... Spider-Gwen, a.k.a. Ghost Spider, and now Ghost Spider. You just made the transition.
Yeah.
You know? So, I guess it's your negative. All right, so what's your favorite moment from the book?
I just, like, Spider-Gwen as a character in general.
Okay.
My favorite moment is her interacting with Pete.
Okay.
I love that kind of stuff. Because my favorite Spider-Man girlfriend is honestly Gwen Stacy.
Okay.
It's not like I grew up with her or anything, because she died way before my time. I grew up with Mary Jane. You're 12. And I also grew up in, like, the Ultimate Comics stuff.
Right.
But Gwen Stacy was just always interesting to me. And then when they introduced her as a cover variant for whatever's going on, and then threw her into Spider-Verse, and Edge of Spider-Verse, I thought that was fucking awesome.
I was like, Gwen Stacy
as Spider-Man, that's one of the best things they could have ever done.
It's true. I mean, my favorite moment actually is when her fall, it's her, for her.
The surprise welcome party. Back.
Yeah, the surprise party. And it was like, hilarious. I didn't want one, and it was like,
oh. Part of don't throw me a party screams, throw me a party. And then the other girl goes, it's a tax write-off, and he goes, stop talking.
Just stop talking. because your daughter is, you know, a vigilante, and I'll stop talking.
It's just, I do like the comedy of it.
That's what it is. I think it's a nice mix of everything. All right, so what do you think? All right, so out of five, what'd you give this book?
If you're reading Spider-Gwen as its whole entirety, 4.5. If you're not, 3.5.
Okay.
It doesn't do a lot of good catching up on if you haven't read her ever.
Right.
It does a tiny introduction like, hey, I'm Spider-Woman, I was outed, I'm in this band, my dad's a cop. People died.
Right.
But the last series, before the aftermath of Get In, the first one,
had
a lot better number one recap, where it was kind of like, hey, after Spider-Verse, this happened, and then this is what my origin is, and here's a tiny recap.
Right.
This one just kind of throws you into the fray. But then again, there was more months in between those books than it was between 10 and this issue one.
Right.
It was literally like 3.5 weeks, and I was like, here it is.
Yeah, exactly. I think...
So it's definitely a 4.5. It's well-written.
I definitely give it
if you're a new reader,
right. 3. I definitely give it a 4.5. I'm going to disagree with you for the fact that it's not new reader-friendly. I think it's very new reader-friendly. It's too new reader-friendly. For those who are a fan of hers, you don't need it. You don't need that whole issue of her just recapping.
Then again,
everything.
the last issue one they did, in part of the 10 one, was definitely not new reader friendly. It was in the aftermath of, it was in the middle of Spider-Geddon.
Yeah.
So reading that one was just kind of like, oh, what the fuck?
I think this is too new reader friendly.
Where it
shoves so much of her information down there, where, cool, if you are a fan of Ghost Spider, you can literally skip this issue and just read issue 2 forward and they give you the synopsis.
You guys decide if it's new reader friendly.
Yeah. So I'll give it 4.5 though.
All right, guys. Get us out of here.
All right, I'll sign us off. Yeah, I should have already been prepared for that. I don't know why I didn't. Thanks for listening. You can head over to our website, AndroidsComics.com. Check out this week's previews and new releases. Follow us on Instagram at Android_comics and Twitter at AndroidsComics for up-to-date news. If you listen to us on Apple Pods, don't forget to rate and review us. And if you're listening on any other app, don't forget to share. And as always, support your local comic shop. Thanks, Danny, for coming on this week's episode.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We'll have you on in the next one for Power Rangers Part 2. Get ready for that, where we have more guests and one returning.
Yes.
One returning guest. All right, guys.
Thanks, guys, and have a good day.